All right, back on the Young Turks, Anna and Cenk with you guys. Lots of great stories. First, tweets. Project Kura says, this is Trump giving up on the election, he's done. That might be true. He might be just saying, okay, look, when I started my media enterprise, I'll have my core audience here. Who cares about anyone outside of my core audience? I'm not going to win anyway. On the other hand, just saw a poll today, Hillary Clinton only up by 2 nationally. And then there was the Emerson College poll the other day where they were tied. Like,
polls
it's
go up,
amazing.
Polls go down.
It's amazing. No, another poll, another record Hillary Clinton set on unpopularity. She's the only one who could lose to Trump. It's amazing. It's amazing what the Democrats did.
Yeah.
God damn, unbelievable. Anyway, is it, this guy, this fucking monster, he's tied with Hillary Clinton in some polls. After all this. After all this. Now, overall, collection of polls, now the polls are getting narrower and narrower and narrower. But when you include the older polls, she still has a 6-point lead nationally. But, and her lead is dwindling in Ohio and Florida. Okay. A.A. Lipschitz writes in, I think Trump is an orange criminal alien. I think he's...
It is an alien force, not of this world.
Not of this world.
Not of this world. Kat Santana writes in about the prosecutors fired. Bravo, justice one way or another. Good riddance to her, referring to Angela Corey. And No More Donations says, angry that Tim Canova didn't defeat Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but happy that Angela Corey has been given the boot. Indeed. So that really was a good day in America. I never thought I'd thank Republican primary voters in Florida as much as I have today. Okay. All right. What's up, Anna?
All right. Several prominent YouTube creators are flipping out after it appears that several of their videos have been demonetized. So these are videos that were previously making money, and now it turns out that YouTube has decided that they can no longer make money due to the content of those videos. Now, Philip DeFranco, who's a very well-known YouTuber, raised awareness about this issue after he realized that many of his videos were demonetized, and some are calling this censorship. However, YouTube is saying that this has nothing to do with censorship. This is all about making sure that ads go onto ad-friendly content. Now, the channels that self-identify as vulnerable by these advertising guidelines seem to be news channels covering sensitive real-world topics, kind of like us. Though YouTubers with gaming content are also reporting more demonetized content recently.
I just want to be super clear. The original news story had everybody saying that YouTube has decided to do this now.
Yeah.
YouTube says, no, that's not the case. You never knew it, but they were always demonetized. Now, this new action is just letting you know that they were always demonetized and giving you an avenue in which to appeal that decision, which actually is good news for you. I think that their critics do have one point, including for us, for example. It would have been nice if you had told us all along that they were demonetized.
Right. A lot of people did not know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so telling us this late is a little problematic. But I'm actually going to come to the defense of YouTube on a lot of these issues, even though this has probably affected us more than any other channel.
Yeah. So many of our videos have been demonetized. And Cenk is right. If anything, now there's more transparency and there is an avenue in which you can appeal the decision to demonetize the video. But also understand that the decision to demonetize doesn't necessarily lie within YouTube and the people that work there. It has more to do with what the advertisers want. Now, what kind of content usually gets flagged as not friendly for advertising material? YouTube's advertiser-friendly content guidelines page says that swearing, sexually suggestive content, violence, drug use, or usage of controversial subjects are not advertiser-friendly. So that last part is what concerns me the most, usage of controversial subjects. Advertisers don't want to advertise on videos with controversial subjects, and that's super frustrating, which is why it's important for, you know, the membership program that we have, for instance. Our members allow us to report any topic that we think is important, any topic that they think is important, and we don't have to worry about whether or not we're advertiser friendly. All we worry about is whether or not we're audience friendly and we're serving them.
So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. But okay, now let me hit the substance of this. So number one, this is not YouTube's doing. So I not only am the host of the show, but I run the network. So I deal with advertisers, I deal with the business side all the time. This is standard fare for advertisers. Now, you can get angry at the advertising world, at the advertising agencies, and say, how dare they, etc. And in fact, I think the most legitimate criticism of them is that this is not 1955. If we do a controversial story or one that involves violence that ISIS is taking, for example, people will not be shocked and chagrined. Like, the old way of thinking for advertisers is, oh no, I don't want my toothpaste near a controversial topic. My God, Harriet will be turned off by that and not buy it. Okay, we don't live in that world anymore. No one cares. They just, you know, if you support content that they like, they're more likely to buy your stuff. I don't know why, it's not that hard. You should have figured this out. But it's not incumbent upon YouTube to change the entire advertising world. If YouTube said, well, we don't care if you think it's not advertiser friendly, we're just going to disperse your ads throughout all these videos whether you like them or not, guess what would happen? Then YouTube would have no advertising.
So I'll give you guys an example. Obviously, we've done many videos in the past that have been extremely critical of for-profit colleges. Mm-hmm. And for some time, it would be kind of hilarious, like out of nowhere, there would be advertisements for for-profit colleges on those very videos.
That's because it gets triggered by the tags.
I know it does, but it doesn't make sense, right? So if an advertiser decides, I don't want my ad to be on that content, that makes sense, okay?
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you're right. I think that advertisers and advertising agencies are stuck in their old ways. They don't understand how online content works, right? And they want super safe, buttoned up news content that doesn't appeal to anyone. The reason why television news isn't doing well is because they're afraid to delve into the controversial topics. They're afraid to get into the details, right? They do ridiculous, shallow coverage of everything. And so, okay, you can advertise there all you want, but the audience is leaving. So it's a frustrating situation.
So eventually the advertisers have to change their way of thinking, because if they just want safe programming, the reason they could have safe programming in the past is because in 1955 there's only three channels and everybody watched that tube in their living room, so they had no choice. So they told all of the news and all the other programming, be safe, we don't want to turn off Republicans, Democrats, we don't want to turn off anybody, right? Now if you're that vanilla and that safe, nobody's going to watch you, so nobody's going to buy the toothpaste. So, okay, but again, look, if anyone's got a right to be angry over this, it's us, because it's probably literally affected us more than any other channel on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, but we get it, we understand. So look, the theories, by the way, that, oh, they're targeting people based on politics, and I love Phil DeFranco, he's a good guy, I've talked to him 1,000 times at these different events, and I think he does a great show that appeals to his demographic, and he does a great job of reaching those guys. My nephew watches him, loves him, etc. Right? But Phil, it isn't about you went after social justice warriors and YouTube made a political decision. No. We're totally progressive. They've taken our videos down, not down, but they've demonetized them more than they've demonetized any of your videos. Right? So it's because this is standard fare for advertisers. They eliminate the violence, the sex, the bad language, etc. Now, I already know that because I know the industry. Mm-hmm. But yet we do it all the time. You know why? Because we're a news show.
Yeah.
I know that they don't monetize. I see all the numbers every day, right? But we do it anyway because we're here to serve you guys. I'm not going to change the programming to say, hey, man, I got to get that toothpaste ad.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, at the same time, by the way, an overwhelming majority of our videos are quote unquote advertiser friendly. It's just normal news stories about the news of the day, etc. And they don't trigger any of those particular categories or warnings. God bless. So hey, on those we sell toothpaste because people need toothpaste, right? And the others we do, even though we know that they don't pay well, because that's the news.
Is this advertiser friendly?
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, I know everybody's on red alert, and I get that if somebody just told you, wait a minute, you're missing a huge chunk of your money, that you're going to flip out over it, but just look at the facts and figure out what actually happened here. And when you do, if you're angry at anybody, I really don't think it should be YouTube. If you think you've been targeted, I would be shocked if that were true. I don't think that's the case at all. Then, and if you're a conservative, which, by the way, Phil DeFranco, I don't know what his exact politics are, so I'm not putting this on him. Mm-hmm. But if you're a conservative, then you should be ecstatic because they've taken down a lot more of our videos in terms of monetizing them. So congratulations. Mission accomplished, right? But that's not what's going on here. So let's all work together to help advertisers catch up to the real world that exists today. Because, by the way, that's, yes, I guess it's a form of criticism of them, but it's also to help them because they can't sell their products if they don't know who their audience is.
Exactly.
Their audience isn't Ozzie and Harriet anymore. It's us.
All right, moving on to some other news today. Actor Mark Ruffalo has responded to some of the criticisms regarding a movie that he's helping to produce. It's a new movie titled Anything, and it has to do with a transgender person working in the sex industry. Now, a lot of the criticism has to do with the fact that the person cast to play that role is Matt Bomer, who is a cisgender male and who is openly gay. Now, the LGBT community is arguing that Bomer should not have been cast in this role because there's a plethora of successful, talented transgender actresses that could play the role instead. Now, Anything will star Bomer as a trans sex worker who begins an intense friendship with a suicidal man played by actor John Carroll Lynch. Mark Ruffalo responded to the criticisms on Twitter by saying, to the trans community, I hear you. It's wrenching to see this, to see you in pain. And he also says, I'm glad we're having this conversation. It's time. In all honesty, though, he says that he suggested Matt for the role after a profound experience he had with him while making the movie The Normal Heart.
Okay, I'm going to declare everyone in this story not guilty. Mm-hmm. Am I not munificent and benevolent? Okay, so here's why. Look, they're acting. They're allowed to act in other roles. As John was saying in the morning today, John Ardoli, he's like, you know, sometimes rich people play poor people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it happens. Now, on the other hand, is there a line? Yeah, there's a line. If a white guy wanted to play a black guy in blackface, that's crossing the line, right? So that's why I don't blame activists for speaking out. They want to stand up for their rights, and you know, or not even their rights, because you don't have a right to it. To a movie role, right? But for their community and say,
yeah,
hey, we can do this too, and you should think about us. Nothing wrong with that. Mark Ruffalo says, hey, I love this guy as an actor. I really wanted to work with him. That's why I put him in this role. But thank you for speaking out, and I hear you. I don't think he could have handled it any better than that.
Yeah.
He wasn't defensive about it. He wasn't angry about it. He didn't give a non-apology apology, in my opinion. Now, look, people will disagree, and they'll say, no, he should have immediately fired Matt and put in another guy, and look, I don't know any of these people, but
yeah,
it seems like these are all reasonable decisions that were made.
Yeah, look, I don't know much about Matt Bomer. I don't know about his talent or his, you know, acting abilities. But what I do know is, look, it's a very interesting and sensitive time for the trans community, and they want to be represented appropriately in mass media, right? So they want to make sure that if someone is portraying a member of their community, it's someone that actually has been part of that community, who has gone through those struggles, who might actually play a role in, you know, making sure that the movie moves in the right direction. So, look, I get it. People are concerned because they don't want to be represented in a negative light or in the wrong way. So, but at the same time, you kind of have to wait and see whether or not they're going to do right by the trans community by coming out with
yeah,
a good movie. And it's a terrible situation. I honestly would have preferred for them to cast someone who's transgender, but it is what it is.
Look, like I said, sometimes, by the way, it's a matter of finding a star that can get a movie produced. And yes, that system sucks, but yes, it's also real. And if you don't have a trans actor that has that kind of star power, it might be harder to get the movie done. On the other hand, the activists are right to say, hey, if you never give us a shot in the first place, how are we going to get that star power? And how many roles are there for trans actresses? And so don't take the few ones that are away from us. And, you know, look, Mark Ruffalo is, Rush Limbaugh is not directing this movie, right? He's not coming at this from a bad place. He's a super lib. I would be shocked if he wasn't very sensitive to presenting the trans community in the right way in the movie,
right?
And now he's heard you on this, and maybe it's, this ship might have sailed, but maybe you win the next fight.
Yeah.
So I just think everybody's doing the right thing here, and it's not a national emergency, and God bless both sides of this issue.
By the way, this story came out in an interesting time because over the weekend I watched The Danish Girl, which was just released on HBO, and I know nothing about actors or movies or anything. I just watch them whenever I have time. But Redmayne is the actor who played the transgender woman in The Danish Girl. That he's cisgender, by the way. That was one of the best movies I've ever seen. I highly, highly recommend it. Please watch it.
Please believe me.
Anyway, Eddie Redmayne, that's the name of the actor.
Yeah, I can't stand Eddie Redmayne.
Really?
Can't stand him.
He was so good in that movie.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Why?
Every role of his, I'm like, ugh. And I look, it's not him, it's me. There's like Jack Black. He's a good guy. I'm sure if I knew him, I'd want to have a beer with him. Seems like a nice guy. I can't stand it.
Agreed on Jack Black.
Okay, and Eddie Redmayne. I know everybody thinks he's an awesome actor, and he probably is. But every time he does that Broadway stuff, I go,
you're the worst.
Da 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 da. I'm like, okay, all right, Eddie, I got it. Bring it down like 18 levels.
He's so good in The Danish Girl.
Okay.
Please watch it. Okay, anyway, okay. Moving on. Last year, Governor Mike Pence signed legislation into law in a closed-door meeting that would essentially give religious individuals more rights than they should have. Now, that sounds like a strong statement, but the Religious Freedom Restoration Act essentially gives people certain rights to, I don't know, abuse their kids. At least that's the case involving a woman by the name of Kin Park Thang, who is facing federal charges for abusing her 7-year-old son with a coat hanger. According to reports, doctors found 36 bruises on the boy's back, thigh, and left arm, and a bruise on his cheek in the shape of a hanger hook. Now, why am I bringing this up? And what does this have to do with Mike Pence and the legislation he signed into law? Well, it turns out that her defense is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. She's saying that it is literally part of her religion to use this type of punishment to discipline her kids. She says the following: I was worried for my son's salvation with God after he dies. I decided to punish my son to prevent him from hurting my daughter and to help him learn how to behave as God would want him to. Also, the law that was cited by her attorney was signed by Pence in March 26th of 2015. He did so in a quiet, closed-door signing ceremony with conservative and religious leaders. Now, the first version of that legislation essentially told business owners that they could discriminate against the LGBT community if it's part of their religion. There was a lot of backlash for that, so they came out with another piece of legislation that was basically a little bit of a middle ground that prevented business owners from discriminating against LGBT communities. But they only did that after business owners decided to leave the state.
Okay. So this is Christian Sharia law. Well, God told me I should beat the living crap out of my kids. And by the way, it's somewhat true, and you know, Bible can be interpreted in both ways. And you could say, hey, turn the other cheek to your kid. What's the matter with you? No, Jesus talked about peace and love and not any of that stuff. Or you could look at the parts of the Bible that says, yeah, don't spare the rod. Go kick your kid's ass. It says it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now, imagine if a Muslim parent abuses kids so much that you could see the imprint of the hanger on their face. What would we say? Monsters. You see, and then they said, well, Allah told me to do it. Allah says to beat your kids so severely that you leave marks on them. We would say, see, they're not with our culture. We got to get them out. We got to get them out. They're not with our culture.
Yeah.
A Christian does it. They're like, oh, God bless. Religious freedom. Freedom. Okay. So, no, we have laws in this country. They are secular laws. You don't get to beat the crap out of other people, including your kids, and then just go, that's my religious freedom. No, that's not how it works. If you want that, you can go to Saudi Arabia, you can go to Iran, you can go to the Vatican maybe, okay, you can go find somewhere else to live, but this is a secular country and you must follow our secular laws that are based on logic and reason and decency and not based on your particular Sharia law.
Yep.
So I don't give a damn if it's Islamic Sharia law or Christian Sharia law, we don't follow that around here.
Yeah, I think that people like really simplified arguments or simplified ways of understanding issues like this. So here's a really simple way of understanding this. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care if you are Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Christian, Muslim. I don't care. I don't care. What I do care about, though, is that when you're practicing your religion, which you should be free to do, you don't harm others. That's it. That's the clear line. You don't get to harm others in any way, in any physical way, in any psychological way. You should be able to practice your religion, have your faith, and not cause harm to others. And in this case, she's causing harm to a 7-year-old kid, beating him with a coat hanger, hitting him in the face.
Jesus Christ, man.
Hitting him in the face, by the way.
So, look, and I know a lot of parents get touchy about this, and a lot of them are right-wingers. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And so these are the same people who will be like, pro-life. I value life so much. Don't get an abortion. Oh, the baby's out, now beat the crap out of him. You know, it's okay. Hey, it's God says don't spare the rod. Don't tell me what to do with my kids. I will abuse them. I will beat them because that is my Sharia law. Okay, all right. Well, now I know where you stand on it.
All right, let's take a break, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, now I gave you one happy news already on Angela Corey being fired. We have more happy news on the way, including although it's about the devil.
It is about the devil.
Happy news about the devil. When we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. I've got to read these two tweets because they're about the trans story, and they have an important point of view that I want to make sure is represented. William Kamei Curley says, "It's about representation. Us trans people have almost no one to look up to. I, as a trans man, know of not a single trans man actor." So that's William writing in. And he says, men playing trans women can encourage the idea that trans women aren't really women, which leads us to abuse of those women. So, yeah.
That's okay. A really good point. Yeah.
Okay, so super interesting perspectives, and thanks for sharing, guys. You can tweet at us throughout the show when it's live at hashtag TYT Live. Okay, member shout-outs today are Jose Casanova. Boy, that sounds like a guy for you, Anna. He's member number 1841.
His name is Jose Casanova.
That's his name, and he's a member. And 1842 is James Hoyt. Okay, so Jose and James, you guys are awesome. We do have a great post game for you guys today. And then afterwards, Aggressive Progressive tonight. First section will be live for everybody at tytnetwork.com/live. And then this second part is just for the members. And members can get the whole show anytime they want. So that is, of course, members at tytnetwork.com/join. Okay? All right. Now, let's go on to our good stories.
All right. Scientists have noticed a rapid evolution of the Tasmanian devil in Australia. In fact, I want to show you images of this rapid evolution, starting with what they look like when they're babies. Super cute.
Aww.
And then they grow, and they're still super cute. Although very vicious, based on what they do when they want to mate and also while they're fighting. And then,
well, they don't call him devil for nothing. But he is a cute little devil.
And then, unfortunately, a few years ago, 80% of the Tasmanian devil population was wiped out because of a face cancer that they were getting. So this picture is hard to look at, but there it is. Okay, I don't like looking at it myself. But now researchers are finding that they're evolving so rapidly that they're actually finding ways to fight the cancer and live longer. And here's what they now look like. Let's take a quick look at it. There they are.
Man, that is quite the evolution. Okay. By the way, here's what you don't want to have. Face cancer.
Yeah. So there's actual like scientific stuff that we'll get into in a second. But how cute are Tasmanian devils?
Oh, shmoopy papoopy.
They're super cute.
Okay, so I love this story. First of all, it's about evolution. Second of all, evolution wins. But look at this. It's called the Tasmanian devil, and then God afflicts them with a terrible scourge, you know, a plague upon their faces. Take that, Tasmanian devil. And then evolution's like, yeah, whatevs. We'll just evolve out of it, and that's it. Face cancer's gone, and we're back. What now? God, your turn, your serve.
So this is great because I think it's the classic case of evolution, right? And I'll explain why that is in just a second. But what I love is evolution typically takes a long time. So people don't really understand, like creationists and like some religious people don't really understand how it works. And I think that this story, since it happened so rapidly, shows how evolution works in a very simple way. So let me give you the details. So a highly contagious and incurable form of cancer called devil facial tumor disease.
Something you do not want to have.
Began wiping out devil populations, characterized by gruesome lesions and lumps that manifest on the marsupials' faces. The condition killed nearly 100% of devils that contracted it. In the years since, though, the condition has infected almost all devil populations in the wild, prompting an overall population decline of over 80%. Now, the reason why it's so easy to spread it is because Tasmanian devils attack one another by biting one another's faces when they're fighting over a mate, right? So they're like, right? And then they get
real
cancer, which is messed up. So according to the study, though, published this week in the journal Nature Communications, the endangered species seems to be rapidly evolving to resist the cancer, and this stab at survival may be enough to keep them alive. Part of the reason, let's skip to graphic 24. The researchers discovered changes in two regions of the genome associated with immune function and cancer response. Their findings suggested that devils were evolving immune-modulated resistance that could aid in species persistence in the face of this devastating disease. So what they're trying to figure out is whether or not this resistance is just allowing them to live long enough to continue reproducing, or if it just helps them fight the cancer altogether and live a normal, full Tasmanian devil life, right?
Or they get to bite each other's faces off. Okay, you know, when they were had this disease, you know, afflict them, the Tasmanian devil said,
"We're under attack."
Yeah, but here's what I also wonder. I wonder.
And they said,
"It's the devil." Okay.
Such a clown. Okay, anyway, but here's what I wonder, and I'm sure more research will go into this and we'll know the answer. Are these Tasmanian devils that developed this change in their genome, or was this something that they just inherently had, right? Mm-hmm. And so survival of the fittest, because, you know, that's one of the ways that evolution works. There'll be some sort of terrible disease or something that wipes out the majority of the population that can't handle fighting off that disease. And then those that are strong enough remain, they reproduce, and then you have a stronger population. And I'm wondering if that's what happened or if it's something that they rapidly developed to resist the cancer.
Damn it, Anna. I'm not a scientist. I'm a talk show host. Okay, so I'm not going to get into speculation of exactly how that works. All I know is I love science. I love evolution.
Yeah.
And ha-ha, God.
I just love how badass Tasmanian devils are.
That's certainly true, too. Mm-hmm. But all kidding aside, guys, you see, this is how evolution works. And so it's not like God made woman from the rib of guys, and then he made female Tasmanian devils from the ribs of male Tasmanian devils, and then Noah rescued the Tasmanian devil couple, and then they no, Tasmanian devils have mutated and evolved all throughout, before Noah's Ark, after Noah's Ark, slash Noah's Ark never existed, okay? And if it did, boy, the Tasmanian devil could have used it before the facial cancer hit him, right?
Yeah.
Etc. Right. So, and God didn't get angry with the Tasmanian devil's lifestyle and decide to do a plague upon him. This is nature.
Right.
Devils go in, devils come out. You can't explain that, but evolution can.
So, just by the way, guys, keep in mind, scientists believe that the Tasmanian devil would be extinct. Okay, and now there's a possibility that it will not be extinct, and that's great news. I don't know. It's a heartwarming, happy Tasmanian devil story.
My heart is warmed all over. All right, fantastic. Way to fight it off, guys. Tasmanian devils are like, "Oh, did you hear? Jenk said some nice things about us." He says, we did a great job.
Yeah.
80% of us dying, some of us getting lucky, having the right genes, and then reproducing until we recreate the population. That was good work by us.
My favorite thing in the world is how you have like a Tasmanian devil right behind you who reminds me a little bit of Chris Christie standing behind Donald Trump.
Ah!
Oh, man.
It's the devil, okay?
In this case, literally. Okay, all right, fun. Okay, evolution for the win.
We have more good news. All right. Over the last few years, there have been numerous stories involving the media criticizing some of the tactics that police use in restraining individuals. Now there is an update in Los Angeles in response to some of the negative news reports about them. Now, NPR apparently did an investigative report into local police in Los Angeles shooting at vehicles. And they tried to figure out whether or not it was a smart idea to do so and whether or not cops should be trained to do so. So the results are awesome. Let me tell you what their investigation found and what the response was from the police. So NPR member station KPCC in Pasadena has been tracking the use of force by sheriff's deputies as part of an ongoing investigative series called Officer Involved. It found almost every driver or passenger shot by deputies was actually unarmed.
Jesus.
So the Los Angeles Police Department, which serves the city of Los Angeles, obviously, has cracked down on the practice by virtually eliminating the shooting at moving cars with unarmed occupants from 2010 to 2014. So the LAPD had realized maybe this isn't the right way to go about things, because if you're shooting at someone who is driving a vehicle, well, then let's say you shoot and kill that person, then all of a sudden you have an unmanned 3,000 pound vehicle coming your way or going in the direction of something that, you know,
God,
could cause a lot of harm.
Such an unbelievably bad idea. But yet, you know, a lot of right wingers will go, "Oh, you see, this is how they neutered the cops. They can't even do their jobs anymore. Now they can't even shoot unarmed people in cars, thereby creating, one, killing a person who is unarmed, and two, creating a great lethal danger for others."
Yeah.
That's wait, that's a great thing that we eliminated that. Almost everyone they shot was unarmed.
Yeah, let me give you the details on that. So the KPCC investigation found that Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies shot an unarmed passenger or driver in a car at least 8 times during the same 5-year period because they said they feared being run over. Now, the Sheriff's Department is different from the LAPD, okay? So the LAPD decided, we're no longer shooting at moving vehicles. This is a bad idea. The Sheriff's Department continued doing it until now. So if the driver, the target, is hit, that means an unmanned 3,000-pound vehicle is suddenly tearing down the streets of Los Angeles County. That was a quote from NPR. So in May of 2005, LA sheriff's deputies unloaded 120 rounds on an unarmed man in a Chevy Tahoe in Compton. Bullets reportedly sprayed 5 neighborhood homes. One bullet was found 2 blocks away, lodged in the wall of an elementary school. So obviously this causes more harm than good. And thankfully, the sheriff's department realized it, and now they're changing, you know, their policing tactics, and they're also changing what they're being taught in training. So according to the LA County Sheriff's Department, firearms shall not be discharged at a stationary or moving vehicle, the occupants of a vehicle, or the tires of a vehicle unless a person in that vehicle is imminently threatening the department member or another person present with deadly force by means other than the moving vehicle. The last part's really important because the reasoning that cops used to give was, well, that vehicle is a deadly weapon and that's why I shot at it. But shooting at it is not going to solve your problem. It could actually be very counterproductive.
So let's talk about those things. So number one, again, right wingers will say, well, they're trying to kill the cop with the car. That's also a deadly weapon. And you libs want to take their right away to defend themselves. But okay, first, I would caution you to move out of the way. That's the better way to go about it. Okay. Second, Emily, I know maybe you are going to have trouble getting out of the way. But if you shoot the guy and kill him, the car's going to keep on coming in the same direction, or maybe go in a different direction and kill someone else.
Yeah.
So it is counterproductive. So it's never made any sense. It's never worked. So, but I want to give credit to the LAPD and the sheriff's office here for doing the right thing. I know it took a long, long time, but at least they studied it. And and by the way, great journalism there as well by KPCC.
Yes.
And so for them to point out this issue, for the cops to go, oh, you're right, right? Oh, that's right, it doesn't help us either.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help anybody, and to change their system is great. Lastly, I mean, I know I don't want to end on a downer note there, but they sprayed 120 bullets in Compton. If there was a guy that they were worried was going to do something with his car in Beverly Hills, they're not spraying up Beverly Hills with 120 bullets and going, ah, who cares who it hits? No way, no how.
That is depressing.
Okay, you think they're going to spray bullets near a Beverly Hills school? Then you don't understand how this world works.
You're being unfair, Cenk. All lives matter. They care about all lives.
Sure. So, but again, at least they learned from that.
Yeah.
And good news coming out of the LAPD.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Look, one other thing I want to add. Like, this story goes a long way for me personally because it shows that there are people out there that are listening. They want to improve the training, and they will make the changes. And more importantly, look, the media criticizes not because we hate cops, not because we want to go after cops. Like, I have no ill will toward cops, right? We just want a system that actually serves and protects, right, and isn't counterproductive. And I love that LAPD and LA Sheriff's Department is making these changes. So it's good news.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on. A U.S. court has upheld a ban on selling guns to individuals who have a marijuana card. This is a Dromsey story that was basically started back in 2011 when a Nevada resident by the name of S. Rowan Wilson tried to purchase a gun for self-defense. Now, she also had a marijuana card, and it turned out that she didn't pass a background check because federal law prohibits you from using marijuana, and if you do use marijuana, you're not allowed to buy a firearm. Now, the ruling by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals applies to the 9 Western states that fall under the court's jurisdiction, including California, Washington, and Oregon. The court also said Congress had reasonably concluded that marijuana and other drug use raises the risk of irrational or unpredictable behavior with which gun use should not be associated. And by the way, I mean, it's not like legal substances like alcohol would do anything like that. Right? Yeah. Alcohol drinkers should be able to buy guns.
And yet there are some people who are literally making the case today in America that you should be able to bring loaded weapons to a bar. Like, where they're going to drink that stuff that makes them oftentimes irrational. And I've been there, brother. Okay? And so look, let's talk about all the different ways that this is insane and hypocritical. Mm-hmm. So if you can have alcohol and have a gun, you can be addicted to alcohol and have a gun.
Yep.
You could be on a suspected terrorist watch list and get a gun.
In some states, you can beat the shit out of your wife and still buy a gun. Okay?
There's
like, that's where we're living right now.
There's almost nothing you can do that'll prevent you from getting a gun except smoking pot. What kind of an insane world do we live in? And most people, and not everybody has the same reaction, but most people, when they smoke pot, sit on their couch and don't do much, at least at that moment, right?
Yeah.
So these are not the most dangerous people in America. These are the most chill people in America.
Yeah, no, this is crazy. This is crazy. And look, I kind of understand the reasoning, although I don't agree with it. If something is illegal on a federal level, well, then the government can turn around and say, you're not allowed to have a gun because you're guilty of breaking this law. And remember, marijuana is still listed as a Schedule I drug, which is the most dangerous with no medicinal value whatsoever. Of course, that's wrong, and I disagree with it 100%. But it's like, look, I know we've done a lot of stories about how we want some form of gun control, right? That doesn't mean that we're unreasonable. We want reasonable gun control. This is unreasonable, okay? This is the craziest thing that I've read about guns in the country. I was under the assumption that you could buy a gun no matter what, but apparently the only thing you can do wrong is smoke marijuana.
Yeah. Now, look, some states, if you also have a criminal track record, they won't let you buy a gun, et cetera. Yes, there are some other instances, but that terrorist watch list thing is amazing. Mm-hmm. Because now the gun rights advocates will say, now, look, to be fair, sometimes there are procedural errors on that terrorist watch list, and about two or maybe even 3% of the people on that list got there because of a mistake. So you have a 97% chance of being a terrorist, we're still going to let you have a gun. Now, on the other hand, the guys who are smoking pot, I mean, you've got a 100% chance of smoking pot. And so that's it. You are, by definition, super dangerous. The one thing that Americans cannot abide by is a guy who's, you know, who's high and might have access to a weapon.
You know, it is kind of funny, and I don't know, I guess a little ironic, that we've been calling for gun control for quite some time, and now I just realized that I'm one of the few people in the country, because I live in California and I do have a marijuana card, I'm one of the few people in the country that can't buy a gun. I can't fucking buy a gun. It's amazing.
Second Rights guys, where are you? Defend Anna, okay? Let her buy a gun. I mean, she won't, but she should have rights as an American. All right. That's it. We're out of time. We got postgame coming up right after for you guys who are members, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. And then Aggressive Progressive at 9 o'clock Eastern. Make sure anybody can watch that when we're live, tytnetwork.com/live for the first segment. And then the rest of the show, the whole show, is for the members. Okay? We'll see you guys there. Bye-bye.